Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ and Him alone for your salvation, then you are filled with the Spirit and you are part of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. This fellowship is meeting around the world at various times today and this week, but you are part of a great fellowship. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit is also meeting in heaven right now. We just sang the song, the Revelation song, and talks about that. And so this morning we're going to continue talking about the Holy Spirit. I think it's something we need to know and understand. He is a person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I don't know that the church in general around the world talks enough about the Holy Spirit, but we've been exploring it. And so for the past several weeks we've been looking in the Old Testament to see how the Holy Spirit interacted with people. And then we compare that to the New Testament, how the same Holy Spirit that we see in the Old Testament is the same Holy Spirit we see in the New Testament. And He operates the same in both the Old and the New. However, the difference in the New Testament that we've discovered is that now the Holy Spirit lives in us, doesn't just rest on us. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit rested on people and said, I need you to do something. But in the New Testament, we discovered that salvation means that we are in the Spirit and that He is in us. Okay? So I want to explore the last book in the Bible as we've explored the first books in the Bible. And let's see what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit in the very last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 1. And we'll begin reading with verse 1 and get up to verse 10 is where I want to make a point. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this is just a little picky thing. It's not revelations with an S. So if you hear somebody say revelations, they're wrong, okay? And so take him before the judge, before the court. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But it's one revelation, and it's a revelation of Jesus Christ that John wrote down. And so when you read the book of Revelation, you need to remember this is something that Jesus is giving us, but John is writing it down, all right? So the revelation, one revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now we find this angel guy, he shows up all throughout the Bible, right? God's angel that he sends out, his special messenger. And we find him showing up here in the last book. It shouldn't surprise us. He was in the first book and all the books in between. But he shows up here. He says, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. So we're reading the words this morning. You're reading it as I'm reading it to you. The Bible says you're blessed.
Amen.
So be blessed. Do you receive that blessing?
Yes.
Amen. So you're blessed just by reading it. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. It doesn't say you have to understand it. It just says you're blessed if you do. And blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. To the seven churches in the province of Asia. So there were a lot more churches than seven, but Jesus wanted these seven to get this letter, this memo, right? And say, look, I need y'all to wake up. You know, time is short. And so it says, grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Now, where have we seen this before, the seven spirits? Anybody know? It's in the Old Testament. It's a very long book. It starts with the letter I. Y'all are amazing. Y'all are absolutely amazing. Isaiah chapter 11 talks about the sevenfold spirit, right? That's what it mentions there. And so we see it again. So it's amazing. How many things are in Isaiah that wind up in the New Testament? Just absolutely amazing. And so we find Old Testament, New Testament connected again. Before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us. Whoops. Did you know that God loves you this morning? Do you feel it this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you're listening online, do you know that God loves you this morning or whatever time you're listening? to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. You were entangled with your sins. This giant net of sin surrounded you and wrapped you up, and now you're untangled. You've been set free from these sins. Are you happy about that?
Yes.
That's good news, right?
Yes.
I don't know how people go through this life, especially this crazy week we've had here in Nashville, how people go through this life being entangled so much with sin when everything else is going around is going crazy, right? Much less being entangled with sin. So Jesus says, I'll free you from that if you'll let me. And has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Is there a book in the New Testament that talks about us being a kingdom of priests?
Yes,
there is. Good answer. Good answer. Do we know what book it is? It has the number one in front of it, so that really narrows it down. First what?
Peter.
Absolutely. First Peter talks about it. First Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. It talks about us being a kingdom of priests. Look, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. We're told in Philippians that every knee is going to bow to Jesus. And here's the thing, every knee, good knee, bad knee, right, left knee, right knee, every knee is going to bow to Jesus. Everybody meets Jesus. No matter when you die, whoever you are, if you hate Jesus, if you love Jesus, everybody's going to meet Jesus. And he's going to have a conversation with you. Everybody. Right? Because he's the one that's been given the task of judging us at the end, right? The judgment seat of Christ. He's been given that task. And so everybody's going to meet Jesus. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. That is the beginning and the end, right? That's in the Greek, Alpha is the first, right, letter in the Greek, and Omega is the last letter, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. That's where that comes from. Says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come. I am the Almighty, the transcendent one and the imminent one. I transcend everything, be it I'm imminent, I'm right here for you. That's the kind of God we serve. All the religions in the world serve a God who's not both transcendent and both imminent, right? We serve a God who is here and there and everywhere. He holds all things together, but yet he's immediately present in your life. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus. Okay, so if you're trusting in Jesus, it requires patient endurance. Amen or oh me. This week has been one of those weeks, right? I'm kind of like Wayne was talking about earlier. Those of you listening didn't get to hear his testimony, but about Thursday of this week, I was just done. I mean, I didn't know if I wanted to hit something or go hide in a cave. It was everything in between. It's just craziness that's taking place. And, you know, this shouldn't surprise us. The children of Satan are growing stronger. The children of God are growing stronger. There's fewer of them because many have fallen away. And it shouldn't surprise us that as this group gets stronger and this group gets stronger, there's going to come a time for battle. Mm-hmm. You know, you take two little boys, 2 years apart in a family, right? And they kind of mess around with each other and they knock each other around a little bit. But when they get to be 16 and 14, they can do damage to one another. You know what I'm saying? Because they're big enough to hurt one another. And so as these two armies have grown, Satan's army and God's army has grown, everybody's gotten stronger that stuck around has gotten stronger. So the battles are going to be more fierce.
Yes.
The battles are going to be more fierce. And Wayne was correct in what he was saying. You know, there's more coming. It requires patient endurance that are ours in Jesus. I was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. He got banished to the island of Patmos because he was a Christian. And if you read any news, if you go online and look at the news about martyrs around the world, there are Christians just being martyred every day for their faith. They say, I trust in Jesus, and they're immediately slain. Right? Heads are chopped off. They're killed in horrible, horrendous ways. Right? That's taking place right now. Right? And we don't think it'll come to America. We sit back and say it'll never come here. Yeah. The word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Now, verse 10. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. And I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys to death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. It's a letter to the churches. It's a letter to us today. We are the church. We're still the church, the same church that John was writing to, writing down the revelation of Jesus. It's the same church today. So verse 10 is the key verse here. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. It says, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. Now, John chapter 14, verse 17 tells us that if we're in Christ, he's in us. If we're in the Spirit, we are in the Spirit, he's in us. So what does it mean when John says, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit? Because John had already been given the Spirit. He was one of the disciples, one of the 12. He'd already been given the Spirit. As a matter of fact, in the book of John, it says, and Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, we see where the Holy Spirit was given. John was a part of that crowd, right? So the Holy Spirit was already on him. What does it mean to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day? Well, we're on the Lord's day, right? So what does it mean to be in the Spirit today? Right? What does it mean? I think it means to listen to. In John chapter 4, same John, that wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, that wrote the book of Revelation. John wrote in chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, he said there's coming a Jesus was quoting, John wrote it down. Jesus was saying, there's coming a day when those who worship will worship in spirit and in truth. Right? Isn't that what it says? So connect the dots from John to Revelation. Right? Jesus says there's coming a time when we worship in spirit and truth. I think what it means to be in the Spirit is to be listening to the Holy Spirit. It means to be listening to the Holy Spirit. So this morning, are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Can you silence my voice for a moment and say, Holy Spirit, what would you say to me this morning? Right? John was sitting by himself on the island of Patmos, and he was worshiping God by himself on the Lord's day. And he said, I'm just going to listen to the Holy Spirit. On Wednesday this week, I had to go to the auto parts place to get an auto part. And I walk in there, and all I want to do is get the auto part, right? And to fix the car. And I'm at the counter, and the young lady behind there, she pulls up the screen, and she's showing me what the part is and what it costs. And yeah, I'll take one of those. And when I walked in, you know, people greet you. How you doing? Fine. How you doing? Fine. And we'd had that little greeting. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you need to ask her. You need to really ask her again. How's she doing? And so I called her by her name, and I said, I just got to ask you, how are you really doing? She just started crying. And so she tells me this story. I won't go into it. She tells me this story of what had just happened to her that night, like Tuesday night. And so I get a chance to minister to her and then pray with her. Nobody came into the store. I'm the only one in there. There's a couple of workers in the back stocking something back there. And they're talking among themselves. And the Holy Spirit gave me the opportunity to talk to somebody without her being interrupted at all about her need. Now, I wasn't just going to go get a part. But when I stopped and listened to the Holy Spirit, I was in the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. On Wednesday, it wasn't the Lord's Day. It was Wednesday. But every day is the Lord's Day, right? Mm-hmm. So I chose after I heard him speak to me. I chose. Now, I wish I had chose before I'd gone in. I wish I'd said, Lord, I'm going to go in here, and if I can minister to somebody, this would be awesome, right? That's what I should have done. But I didn't. I was intent on getting the part. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So we see in the book of Revelation the Holy Spirit being a part of this whole process. So the next couple of chapters, we're not going to look at all the verses. It's too much to read. We don't have time to do that. But chapters 2 and 3 is the message to the church, and it says, listen to what the Spirit has to say to the churches. This is the words. Listen to what the Spirit has to say to the seven churches. So for Ephesus, he said, man, I like your hard work, right? But you've forsaken your first love. That's what the Spirit is saying. The Spirit said to Smyrna, I like your endurance. And interestingly enough, the Smyrna branch, the Smyrna church, it didn't have anything negative to say about him. Interesting. The church at Pergamum, he says, I love the loyalty you have to Christ. However, immorality is reigning in your church. Stop sleeping around with people, right? The church at Thyatira, he said, man, I love your service, right? But once again, this immorality has got to stop. You folks have got to stop this. Whether it's sleeping around with someone, watching porn, whatever it is, you got to stop it, right? The church of Sardis, he said, I see that you've kept the faith, right? But you are dead. You are a dead church. You need to wake up. You need to wake up. To the church of Philadelphia, the Spirit said, I love that you've not denied my name in the face of persecution, right? And here again, he doesn't list a fault, right? And then Laodicea, he says, I see that your strength, you don't have a strength listed. He says, but I see that you're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. Now, hot is okay and cold is okay in this analogy is what he's saying. He's not saying you got to be hot, you got to be cold. He's saying hot water's good, cold water's good, but you're lukewarm. I just want to spit you out of my mouth. And so the Spirit is saying these things to the churches. He's saying it today. Folks, wake up, right? Wake up. In this immorality that's going on, don't forsake your first love. Jump back in and be hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm. Decide if you're going to tell people about Jesus. Decide if you're going to follow him with all of your heart or not. Pick one. But don't balance between the two of them. And then in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, after this I looked before me, and there was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I heard speaking to me was like a trumpet. It said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once, look at here, at once I was in the Spirit. And there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat on it had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, a rainbow resembling an emerald circle of the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders representing the church. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumbles and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. There's that seven again. And these are the seven spirits of God. Now, the Holy Spirit's one spirit. He manifests himself in seven ways. Using this number, he can manifest himself in any way he wants to. A kabillion ways if he wants to. And these are the seven spirits. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. Now, once again, we find John in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Let's move on. Chapter 14, verse 13. I love listening to those pages turning. Amen. Keith, I appreciate you bringing your real Bible this morning instead of that other thing you had so I can hear the pages turning. 14. Verse 13, it says, then I heard a voice from heaven say, right, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Anybody that you know that's died in the Lord is blessed, right? That's why we can go to a funeral and be sad and be happy at the same time. It's one of those mysteries. We can be absolutely grieving, but absolutely rejoicing at the same time because we know they are with God. Right? Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit speaking, yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor for their deeds will follow them. Listen, when you get to heaven, you're going to rest. Do you need some rest today?
Yes.
Amen or oh me? Some of you wish you could just turn your mind off. Some of you go to sleep at night and your mind stays on all the time. Am I right? Don't you wish you could just stop for 5 minutes? You'd be happy with 3 minutes for it to stop, some of you, right? It's coming a time of rest, my friends. We're not there yet. We're not home yet. But when we get home, you're going to be able to kick back and take a nap.
Right?
Yeah, a good nap, as long as you want to. Right? And your mind will be at rest. And the Bible says your deeds will follow you. All the things you've done for him, that you've accumulated for Christ, are going to follow you into heaven. That's the only thing you take to heaven. That and the people you tell about Jesus. They're going to follow you. Chapter 17, verse 13. Quickly here. 17:13. It says, they have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them. Whoop.
Yep. Whoop.
Can I get a hallelujah? They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because he's the Lord of lords and King of kings. And with him are all his called and chosen and follow faithful people. There's one purpose. You need to know that God wins in the end. You just need to know that, right? And it's going to look darkest before the dawn. We know that's going to happen. The Bible, we're reading it right here, right? But God's going to win in the end. All right, quickly, chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse 9. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Now, that's you. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ, if you believe in Jesus, you are the bride, right? Promised to the Lamb. Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away. Well, look at this. He carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of very precious jewels. Right? He gave them this experience. Paul had a similar experience. He was caught up by the Holy Spirit into the third heaven, he said. And he said, when I came back, I saw things I can't even talk about. I can't even talk about this. Now, I've read several stories of near-death experiences, quite a few. And it's amazing how many Christians tell the same story of how they saw the light, right? See the light. And then all of a sudden they see their loved ones greeting them as they enter into heaven. And then all of a sudden they see lights and sounds they can't even describe. This music is color and color is music. All these strange things take place in heaven. It's beyond our imagination. And that's what Paul described. He said, I can't even talk about it. It's crazy, right? It's amazing. This is what John is saying. Look, I saw all these amazing things. And he wrote some of them down for us, right? Because the Holy Spirit had taken him up. And then lastly, chapter 22. Chapter 22. Right? Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal. Now, the river of the water of life is the Holy Spirit, right? John says in John 7:37 that Jesus was, when he talked about the living water, he was referring to the Holy Spirit. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great city, street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life. Where have we seen the tree of life before? Old Testament book? Genesis. You know this. And don't say yes. It's Genesis, right? The tree of life, right? Bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. God's going to heal the nations, right? Amen?
Amen.
No longer will there be any curse. Was there a curse mentioned in a book in the Old Testament, the very first one? Genesis, right? The curse of the ground, right? The throne of God and on the Lamb will be in the city. And his servants will serve him. They will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. There'll be no more night. They will not need a lamp or a light or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light and they will reign forever and ever. That's you?
Amen.
That's you? The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angels to show his servants the thing that must soon take place. Behold, I'm coming soon. Come, Lord Jesus." Today would be a great day, right? Come, Lord Jesus. "Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." So if you keep just a few of these words, right, you're blessed, the Bible says. "I, John, the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down and worshiped his feet, the angel who showed me these things. But he said to me, 'Do not do it. I'm a fellow servant with you, with your brothers, the prophets, and hold to keep the words.' This angel came and spoke. John fell down, and the angel said, 'Look, I'm with you guys. Get back up.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near.'" Was there a book in the Old Testament that was told to seal it up? Starts with the letter D. Daniel. He was told to seal that one up, but here we're told to unseal this one. "Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does what is right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy." In other words, if you're doing wrong, vile stuff, I'm sorry, I'm giving the gospel. If you want to keep doing it, just go ahead. I can't stop you. But if you're doing right, please continue to do right. It's always right to do right. "Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I'll give to everyone according to what he's done." In other words, God rewards you for your service to him. When you use your gifts, right, in helping other people, right, that carries on with you into heaven. So continue to use your gift in your marketplace, wherever God places you. It carries on with you. "I'm the Alpha and the Omega." Where have we heard that in the book? In the New Testament. Do what? We just read it, didn't we? Thank you, Barbara. Barbara had her coffee, so we're good. "I'm the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Right? "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have right to sit the tree, eat the tree of life, and may go through the gates to the city outside of the dogs." You notice it doesn't mention cats at all right here. I'm kidding if you're listening online. I'm just picking at cat people. "Those who practice magic arts, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood." Right? "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you the testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright morning star." Now here it is, verse 17. Here's the Holy Spirit. "The Holy Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears these words of this prophecy, this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in the book. And if anyone takes words away from the book of prophecy, God will take away from him the share of the tree of life in the Holy City, which are described. He who testifies these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." Verse 17. The Holy Spirit is crying out to this world, "Come to Jesus. Stop drinking sand. Come get a glass of water. Stop drinking sand. Come drink water." The Holy Spirit is testifying around the world. And the bride should be testifying. It says the Holy Spirit and the bride say, "Come." The bride, that's us, should be testifying around the world. Wherever we find ourselves on any given day, we should be telling people about Jesus. We should be in the Spirit, talking to the person behind the counter, saying, "How are you really doing?" And sharing Jesus with them and telling them how much Jesus cares for them and loves them. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Our job is to tell people, "Come to Jesus. Come drink this living water." Are we doing that? Are we going to be like the church and we've lost our first love? Are we going to be like the church straddling the fence and can't decide whether we're going to tell people about Jesus? Or are we just going to do it? What are we going to do, church? What are we going to do? We're going to do it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this amazing passage of Scripture, Father, that we've read. Thank you that the Holy Spirit's at work from creation to today. He'll be at work tomorrow and all of eternity. We see him throughout the pages of Scripture. We see him throughout the pages of history. And so thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for putting up with us. But also, Holy Spirit, thank you for living in us and through us and around us and about us and encouraging us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're just absolutely amazing. Thank you, Father, for sending us the Holy Spirit. And thank you, Jesus, for making it possible for us to receive the Holy Spirit. For us, in the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, we pray. Amen.